Welcome back, 447, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT. Oh, look who's on the line. It's Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
Well, boy, I don't know where to dive in first. I guess we go right to the email because that's quite intriguing. Give us the backstory on this. This was something about making the sequester as painful as promised.
Yeah, so this was always the decision facing the White House. They had such dire consequences that they predicted from the sequesters ahead of time. Of course, the point then was to try and make it as painful as possible, and the promise of it as painful as possible, because they still thought there was a chance to force Republicans to accept higher tax increases in exchange for getting rid of some of these cuts. Now that we're actually past that point and the cuts are here, the real question for the White House is, okay, did they actually follow through with things as dire as they warned they would be, or do they actually try and manage some of the cuts and keep some of the pain out of there as best as possible? You know, one of those is sort of the political avenue, the other is sort of the governing avenue, and they have to decide which of those they go with. So that's a prelude to an email that went out from someone in the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, which is a part of the Agriculture Department, went out on Monday, and it captured a conversation that this person had had. He had asked his superiors, he's from the regional, Eastern Regional Office of APHIS, and he asked his superiors at the Department of Agriculture, hey, can I come up with a way to spread out some of the sequester impacts across my region so that I can actually do, it's called aquaculture, it's basically, fish farming and
right.
whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Can I come up with a way to spread out the sequesters across my region so that I can still do some of the catfish farm inspections and whatnot that I need to do in order to keep some of these people, these farms actually still operating? And as he said, the word back from on high, from Department of Agriculture, was, look, we promised, we already told Congress that we would have to stop these inspections, that they would be this painful. Whatever you do to manage the sequesters, you can't do something that will contradict the pain that we told them would result.
Mm-hmm.
And this has a lot of members of Congress very worried about, okay, so this guy is coming up with a way that he thinks he can actually alter the sequesters to make them less painful, and you're telling him, no, make them as painful as we predicted they would be. That seems like it's probably a bad way to govern. And Secretary Vilsack, the Agriculture Secretary, was actually asked about this at a hearing today, and of course he didn't have knowledge of the specific memo or email, but he said, we're trying to minimize them where we can, and we've given them the authority, but that does seem to stand in contrast with this guidance that this guy said he got.
Yeah, okay, so this was reported by a guy by the name of Charlie Brown, the official at the APHIS office in Raleigh. Any guesses as to how long he'll be employed by the APHIS office?
I don't know. I've left a message for him, and I haven't heard back from him. So neither have I heard back from APHIS itself. I left a message for the administrator's office over there, and it's noteworthy that when you call the APHIS press office, the line is the voicemail box is full. So I don't know how they're managing managing that agency, and maybe the sequesters have already hit the press office, but they have been unable to explain to me exactly what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. All right, I saw another story that you posted. More sequester pain. White House cancels tours. Really?
Yeah, this actually, the White House Visitor's Office sent out an email that somebody, I assume they'd had a tour scheduled and got this email for having a tour scheduled, but the White House announced in an email that because of the sequesters, starting next week, it would no longer be conducting tours. To people who had tours scheduled, those have been canceled, they can't reschedule them, and they will stop giving tours until further notice. And, I seem to recall that the White House canceled tours after, say, September 11th and some of the very particular danger spots we've had
sure.
in the past. But canceling them because of budgets is, I guess they have to make cuts somewhere, and maybe that's that may be sort of an easy place to make cuts. But we've also talked about the cutting the Washington Monument cuts, when you go for the really high-profile cuts in order to say this is how bad it is. Now, I also should say that I also joke that I don't know if you've ever done the White House tour. It's been many, many years since I did.
Yeah,
but I actually thought that it was probably more painful to go through on the tour than to avoid it. So maybe this is sparing us pain rather than imposing.
Yeah, I get the funny feeling, though, it's more symbolic than anything else. All right, feds keep hiring with sequesters in place. Your story says 400 jobs were posted on the first day back, meaning that, hey, look, it's not hitting everybody within the federal government. They're still hiring.
Yeah, in fact, including APHIS, the inspection service we were talking about that's halting all of its aquaculture inspections, it actually has an ad up they posted yesterday for 3 insect production workers out in Phoenix. These are folks who are supposed to be incubating bollworms in order to help the cotton production out there in Arizona, and that's so. Even agencies that are in the middle of these dramatic cuts and are saying we have no flexibility are still advertising new positions, and that seems like a very interesting decision to make. You know, it's every agency is facing these tough decisions, and they have to face the choice: do we go ahead and furlough employees and cut our hours by 20%, or do we stop hiring new people? Do we take it out of attrition? I guess every place is going to come up with different ways to do that. But when you go through the list of some of the people that are being hired, you got to imagine that they might have made different decisions. For example, the Justice Department is looking for 3 librarians at salaries. I think it was up to $115,000 a
person. Wow! Are you serious?
Yeah. So 3 librarians. First of all, advertising for 3 librarians right now seems particularly interesting decision when we're talking about furloughing FBI agents and whatnot. But those are the sorts of decisions that are going to get scrutinized, and that's what I was talking about earlier. When the administration has a decision to make, and if they choose to go for the high-profile pain route, then every time we see job openings, you know, we in the public see job openings for something that we're like, well, gosh, I'd rather have an FBI agent out there than another guy staffing your library. Those are the sorts of things that the administration's got to be careful of as it moves forward.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, now I'm just curious. Do we have anyone in a position in our government to determine what positions are important and what positions aren't necessarily important?
Every single agency is allowed to make those decisions.
Okay.
Here's this is sort of the big difficulty here. I one of the guys I spoke with for that story you were just talking about is a guy named Andrew Light, who was a professor at NYU. He's also sort of the world's biggest expert on the federal government and reorganization. And he makes the point that the last time that we basically, I guess, rewrote the civil service was just after World War II in the late 1940s. So it's been 60 years since we last sort of evaluated what the civil service looks like. That means that a lot of these agencies are operating under mission descriptions that are outdated, and the people, the jobs themselves, the job descriptions are outdated. As he put it, you know, we say that everything is mission critical, therefore it's impossible to tell what's actually mission critical. So when you're going through, you're an agency head and you're trying to decide what to cut, if you look at your mission critical description, it probably says it's critical to answer phones, and it's critical to have an agent standing on the border to prevent a terrorist from coming in. And so, well, gosh, I have to have somebody answering the phones and on the border, and those things end up being equivalent in the mission statement. And that's a problem. The main difficulty with coming up with smart cuts right now is that we think that everything the federal government does, from answering phones to defending the country, is mission critical, and therefore, how do you make any cuts?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. Is there any chance that some type of deal could be worked out in the coming days or weeks that would appease everyone?
Oh, you had me until the appease everyone. there is a chance for a deal. In fact, what we are likely to see is here at the end of this month, the continuing resolution debate. Congress, the funding they passed for 2013 only went through the first 6 months of the fiscal year, which means up through the end of this month, up through March. So Congress has to pass more bills to fund the country for the rest of the final 6 months of the fiscal year, so essentially through September 30th. Inside of that, they can go ahead and rearrange how these cuts are drawn. Actually, they could cancel the cuts if they wanted, though that's unlikely to get through Congress. So they're going to most likely write bills that rearrange the cuts and try and ease the pain and give more flexibility. And so we'll see how that happens. But that's the goal. I think that's likely. That we don't see the cuts eliminated, but we do see some rejiggering.
I got you. All right, and we'll be following that as we go forward. As always, Stephen, thanks for your help on all the stories. We appreciate it.
Good to be with you.
See you. Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. It is 4:57, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Getting word from CNN that Hugo Chavez has died. He has been ill for quite some time. A story I read earlier this afternoon said he was in grave condition, having difficulty breathing. So it appears that Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez has passed away, and when we get more information on that, we'll pass that along. It is 4:58, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.